Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, yes, this is Saturday night, Thursday, May 11, 2017. We thank God for this another day that He has made, and we are told in the Word of God that we are to rejoice and to be glad in it. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Well, I do have my special guest on tonight standing by, in the person of internet radio host, Sister Abby Phelps. She's going to be coming forth with the part two of her scripture of a message from the last time she was on, message titled, Awake is Revival Time. Part two is on tonight. So I'm asking all listeners if you would get your Bibles and pens ready so you can follow along with the woman of God as she brings us the word of God. We always open up in prayer. So I'm asking all listeners, if you would go into prayer with me at this time on tonight, that God would be glorified. To God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because of who you are. We thank you that this is the day that you have made. And yes, in your word, you told us that we are to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you that you are in total control no matter what it looks like, no matter what man say or think. No matter what we hear or see on the news, we know that you are in total control. And for this, we are grateful. Heavenly Father, we come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, blot out all of our iniquities, Heavenly Father, so that our prayers and that the word on tonight would not be hindered, that you would be glorified through it all. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pray and ask that you would touch the hearts and the minds of the listeners.
Yes.
Should there be anyone, Heavenly Father, that's on the line or connected to the internet that do not know your son, Jesus Christ, who do not have a relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, we pray, Lord, that after tonight, after hearing the word, they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be able to ask him to come into their hearts and save them, that they will be able to come to know their God purpose after being saved. They will know their God purpose.
Yes.
They will walk in their God purpose, and they will fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we also lift up all those that are incarcerated, those that are bereaved, in the suffering of lost ones, loved ones. Heavenly Father, we know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal because you have no respect of persons. So we just know, Heavenly Father, that you are our healer, you are our comforter, you are our strength, you are our peace, our joy, you are everything, Heavenly Father. So we just thank you again for who you are. Each one of us, in spite of ourselves. We know we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it, but we thank you for your agape love, for your grace and your mercy toward us. In spite of ourselves, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for us to pay our sin debt. Oh, God, we thank you that he has risen from the dead. He's no longer dead. He's no longer in the grave, but he's now sitting at your right hand making intercessions for the saints of God on tonight. So we just thank you for it. We are grateful. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to move by your spirit over the airways on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in us, for we realize that it's not about us. It's about you. It's about your son, Jesus Christ. And we are so grateful that you have chosen us to be vessels, ambassadors, and servants in the earth as your mouthpiece to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're here to do on tonight. So we just ask that you will have your way on tonight, that you'll be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And all the people of God said amen. Well, on tonight,
amen.
We do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought says our conscience is our protection and guide by or through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Once again, our spiritual food for thought tells us on tonight, our conscience is our protection and guide by or through the Holy Spirit. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And then once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at @James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I only have two announcements for tonight. I would like to re-stress to the listeners, for those of you that may not have ever patronized the Firehouse Sub restaurants, my youngest sister and my twin and I, about a month ago, had an opportunity for the first time to visit one of their restaurant establishments, and we were so impressed, and the food was so good, and the service was so excellent. Their employees, they treated us like royalty. And so I'm asking all listeners, please support your local Firehouse Sub restaurants. Not only do they look out for us and by putting out fires and saving lives, but as you patronize the Firehouse Sub restaurants, part of your monies that you purchase your food with goes into a fund where they give back to the communities. Again, not only do they save lives by fighting fires and rescuing people, but they give back through this Firehouse Sub restaurant. They give back to the communities for like homeless shelters and different agencies that help people that are in need. So they are not only feeding you, they give back. So that's why I'm asking all listeners, please support your local Firehouse Sub restaurant. You will not be disappointed. I'm asking all listeners to please take these notes down. I am so grateful that the Lord has placed under my direction now. I have two hosts up under me now, and they have different shows. And the first one is Releasing the Sound. Sister Vajira Hayward is the host. She comes on every fourth Saturday at 6:30. From 6:30 to 7 p.m. And then every first and every third Thursday is Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. He's on every first and every third Thursday from 6:30 till 7 p.m. So please take those notes down, and if you are able to tune in to them and listen to what the Lord is saying through them as his vessels as well, I would be so appreciative that you do, and I know they would be excited to know that you're tuning in and listening to them as well, and that you would be blessed and God would be glorified. I thank God for what he's doing in my life and through this ministry, because that's what this is. It's a ministry, and I thank God for it. And I do not take it lightly. The enemy is a liar on tonight. He's trying to disturb my peace, but he is a liar. We're rebuking him right now in the name of Jesus. So we know that we already have the victory because we are overcomers. The word tells us that we are overcomers. And so we're standing on that word tonight. So the enemy is already defeated. He is a liar. And there's no truth in him. So whatever he tried to do to try to block or stop us from doing God's work, he's already defeated, and that's what he's upset about. So we're just giving God the glory and praise and honor in advance for what he's doing and what he's going to do. So right now, I am so pleased to bring forth my guest on tonight in the person of internet radio host Sister Abby Phelps of Manna from On High. She will be coming forth very shortly. She is going to come forth with part two of her message titled Awake. Is revival time, and her scripture is coming from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. So, Sister Abby Phelps, before you come on the line to bring forth the word, I'm going to do a music break, and I'm going to ask all listeners, if you would please make sure you have your Bibles and pens and papers ready so that you can follow along with the woman of God as she brings forth the word of God on tonight. And we want you all to be prepared to take notes and follow along with her as she brings forth the word. So we know that God is going to be glorified through the word on tonight. So right now, we're going to go into this music break. And following the music break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to yield the mic to her to bring forth the word of God on tonight. Part two.
I owe
to you, oh Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, I give you praise. God is so worthy to be praised. Not only tonight, but every day, not just Sunday, every day. God is worthy to be praised. But before I forget, I know that this weekend is coming up and Mother's Day is coming up for the listeners on tonight that may not be on the line or may not be available to tune in onto the broadcast on this coming Saturday. I would like to say an early happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that's tuned in on tonight. Happy Mother's Day to you, and continue to be the God-fearing, virtuous women of God that He's called and chose you to be. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that's listening on the line tonight. So right now, I am so excited to bring forth Internet radio host Sister Abby Phelps. She's going to come forth with the word on tonight. Sister Abby Phelps, I am yielding the mic to you this time.
Amen. Praise God. And thank you so much, Brother James. And I want to say to the listening audience on all seven continents, and all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For it's in Him we live, it's in Him we move, it's in Him we have our being. And what an exciting time to be in the body of Christ on this glorious and victorious day it is, the 11th of May 2017. Another day, another page written in the book of life. That's right. We are living epistles being read of men daily. The question is, what does our report say? Is it going to say that at the end of our journey called earthly life, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Or is it going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you? This is the reason why it's so very crucial, mental. It's so very vital and important to every child of God, whether you're a lay member, whether you're a bishop, whether you're an evangelist, such as myself, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a teacher, whether you are a faith or healing worker, a missionary, or simply just a diligent, committed member in the body of Christ, it's time for us to awake. It is revival time. We have been dormant for far too long. And let me tell you something. In our acts of dormancy, so many men, so many women have become lost, lost some more because we refuse and we refuse to stand up and be counted as a witness for the Lord. And it's time that we wake up and arouse from our phase of sleep, being comfortable in the comfort zone. We can do as we feel, do as we're pleasing, come in and prop our feet up. You don't hear me. Come on, say amen. We can just feel as though we've accomplished the day's requirements to make us feel as though we were contributors to society. We do all of this to prevail and travail in the earthly or secular setting. But do we consider our spiritual man? That's why we see the natural man. But do we consider the apparency and the very dire necessity of the spirit man? And our Lord and our Savior, our Messiah, said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So as we're committed to the secular setting of bringing in an income or being committed in our due service, our due diligence in the world, in the community, we should be even more the committed, more diligent in the way of serving the Lord. How do we serve the Lord? First of all, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith? Hebrews, the 11th chapter says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's right. That is what faith is. Faith is unmerited confidence. That's right. Not asking questions. Not saying how God, when God, is he going to say yes, God. That's what faith does. Faith says God has already figured it out, so let me stop stressing out. That's what faith is. It's a confidence that is unshaken, unmoved. That's right. And without the instrument of faith, you cannot await until revival time. We got to go back to the faith of our fathers. I know we said 2 Chronicles 7:14 is our foundational scripture, but we need to revisit the very elementation of what we do, why we do, and what our level of commitment is in the Lord. That's right. And it goes back to the faith. That's right. The faith factor. So many of us have allowed this world to dictate to us, and I even say the secular setting of the world, the church world, because if you look correctly and you do your homework and you examine the true factors, the world has become churchy and the church has become worldly. And as a result, many of us have begun to diminish in our faith. We started putting our confidence, instead of putting it in God, we began to put our confidence in mankind. And as a result of us putting our confidence in mankind, the folks in the congregation is where we set our affections upon. And when they failed us and they didn't live up to the expectations in which we thought their professions reflected, we became hard-hearted. Many of us became callous, cold, unresignating, resentful, hateful, and some of us even departed from the faith. So if that's you, that word of knowledge applies to you. This is more in-depth than what we ever could imagine. You need to come back to the old landmark, because that means that you put your faith in mankind and man's service, and you didn't put your faith in God, and that's where you fell out. It's not God's fault that there's hypocrisy in the congregation. It's not God's fault that there's false prophets out there that are scattering the sheep of God. It's not God's fault that there are makeshift miracle workers out there. You don't hear me. You ain't saying amen. And man, it's not God's fault that people are playing and faking and using his name as a pimp prop, trying to be slick on the downhand side and gaining rapport at the expense of others. The Lord told us in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, read the word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that these times were going to come that many were going to depart from the faith. That's right. If you even care to get into the word and to examine the word, read the third chapter of the book of Philippians. It tells us these things, that there were going to be individuals who are going to literally utilize those areas to manipulate. That's right. And to actually monopolize upon those who were attempting to establish the word of God within their lives. So we need to go back the old landmark. That's right. We need to go back and revisit by starting with the faith. Who is your faith in? That's right. Where is your faith? That's right. Where is your faith? And seeing that the faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, then you need to revisit your faith. That's right. And gain the momentum. So, see, without faith, you can't please God. You can't be that divine hand of God operating in the land that is so dire and so needful and necessitable to those things that are the spiritual acclaim. You have to have faith as the instrument. He says, because through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. This is the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, faith is not based upon, you want to wait because it's revival time. It's not based upon what you can touch. What you touch is tangible. You don't have to anticipate it. See, faith says, I am anticipating. I am impregnated with the promise of God. I'm waiting for the birth to happen. And you actually can reflect that back into a woman who has indeed been blessed into the area of conception, of natural conception. She knows that she has a seed planted within her. That's why she knows that it will become an appointed time that seed will give birth. She doesn't become implanted with the seed on one day and the following day give birth. No, faith requires diligence. Faith requires patience. If you want to awake, that's right. This is where you start through faith. It requires confidence, trusting God, not trusting mankind, not allowing your flesh, which is a mess in the first place, Apostle Paul said, because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It is the spirit man saying, let go, God has it. Release yourself so that God can unleash himself. Are you listening today? Are you taking heed to the word? So he says, why? Faith produces miracles. Faith produces revivals. Faith produces the unspeakable. Faith is what destroys your enemies. Faith is what breaks down those hindering spirits and those petitions. Faith is what brings down those high towers. Faith is what gives you those divine breakthroughs and interventions. Faith is what makes that man who said, no, I'm not going to let you remain here on the property. Faith in God is what causes that very person who said no in the middle of the night, the Lord will deal diligently with them, and they'll turn over and got to tell you yes. Why? Because your faith is in God. When God knows your confidence is within him, you don't have to be in a rut. You don't have to be stressed, distressed, oppressed, and suppressed, and then become depressed, because you have casted all your cares upon him. Therefore, he will bring you up and bring you out. It starts with the elementation of faith. We want to get that revival going. We want to awake from our faith and place of dormancy, of initiation, of comfort zone, saying, well, okay, I just accept what comes. Said, no. Faith says, no, I know what God is. I know who he is. I know what he did then, what he's doing now, and what he will continue to do. That's right, because I want a full-fledged revival in my life. That's right, in my workplace. Amen. Are you listening? In my church, in my physical church. That's right, me in my body. That's right, in the congregational setting, which is the collective establishment. That's right, I want to see revival happen in the body of Christ. That means people coming back to the faith that caused them to walk into the ways of the light. That's right, I want that awake to happen in my family. I want that revival to happen in my family. I want to awake and that revival happen in my financial situation. Oh, you don't hear me. Amen. I want that awake and that revival time to happen within the area of my spiritual gifts in which God has imputed within me to make a difference. That's right, not to make me different, but to make a difference. Amen. I want to be awake and the revival time to come in the way of opportunities so that new doors and new horizons will come my way and will swing both ways. I want the awake and the revival time to come where there's, I can reach out and touch and heal those who are broken heart and a broken spirit. And when men are cast down, they can look at me as a testimony and say that there is lifting up. So here we see, in the 11th chapter again of the book of Hebrews, by faith, fourth verse, Abraham offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Was he righteous because he was a good person? No. He was righteous because of his faith. His faith, that's what caused him to gain favor from God. You see, Abel got favor from God. God honored Abel's sacrifice, not because he was a shepherdsman and his brother was a farmer, but it's because his faith, his confidence in God is what generated divine favor. See, faith generates divine favor. It generates the hand of God that will awaken you to revival. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaking. So when Cain came against his brother out of envy, because his brother was so blessed and prospered in such a way, and he slew his brother, his spirit yet testified of the mercy of God, of the greatness, the omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence of God. Fifth verse, by faith. Okay, when you go buy something, that is the venue in which you operate. If I tell you I'm going by the store, it doesn't mean I'm going to go beside the store. I mean by the store. It means I'm going to that location. I'm going in, and I'm going to get what I came for. So saying this, let's just facilitate the statement like this. In the way of Enoch, Enoch in his faith was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Awake, it's revival time. Are you pleasing to God? Again, I ask you a question reflective of the scripture. Is the Lord going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Or is he going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. See, Enoch's life, he wasn't perfect. Enoch had his weak areas as well. He had his areas and his moments of triumph and his moments of trial. But because Enoch's whole confidence was in God, what God could do, what God did, what God was doing, what God was going to do, every good thing that happened in Enoch's life, Enoch gave God the credit. Why? Because by faith, he knew that if it were not for God, he would not have lived such a long time and maintained his perfect and excellent health. He didn't know what physical suffering was. But you know what? So to the point, God loved him, so he kept him well because he enjoyed Enoch's company. Does God enjoy our company when we go boldly through the throne of grace, when we speak to him throughout the day? Does he enjoy our company? Are we that liability or that asset to the kingdom of God as we're walking on this earth? Well, he was an asset to the kingdom of God as he lived. He got so old. But God would not let him see death. No. He was so favorable in the eyes of God, he just translated. He just changed him. He allowed the spirit man to overcome him and accepted him into the kingdom of heaven. And this was his testimony. He pleased God. Why? His faith is what pleased God. His confidence in God is what pleased God. Sixth verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, underline that verse, 11 and 6 of Hebrews. Without faith, there will be no awakening. You'll still walk around in a sleep state, in a zombie state, in a relaxed modus operandi phase. You'll still continue to do the same old thing with the same old results. Nothing, no how, no where. Back to root square one. Why? Because you have become too relaxed in your flesh. That's why God allows problems and situations to come sometimes to shake us up, to wake us up, to let us know that we need to be revived, not revived into the flesh, the puffed up analogy of the flesh, but revived unto the spirit. And nothing can make a child of God when they fall astray and sometimes even walk away, get back into the fold, but trouble, threatening to lose your job. Oh, amen, you don't hear me. Threatening to lose your place of residency, may have to move or relocate. Come on here now. Threatened to lose that love relationship, then that brings people back to the fold. God got your attention. He allowed this to happen. God is not going to let you be evicted from that place. He's not going to let you be set outdoors. But he shook you up to let you know, I control the landlord. Amen. Do you hear me? He let you know, I control the mortgage company. I control, not you. Now I got your attention. Now you know it's me. I told you it was going to be all right. It wasn't what you said. It wasn't that letter you wrote. It was my hand that guided and caused this man, this woman, to give you divine faith. Amen? It was not your very elementation of your emotions that caused that love relationship to be mended. It was my hand that guided the situation. And see, revival time sometimes encompasses around being shaken up. Because how would you know that you need a revival unless you were dormant, that you were walking around in a sleep state, in a sleep state? And your faith needs to be moved. See, faith is that instrument. Say, faith is the instrument that makes the band play in harmony. Say it now. Say it with me. Faith is that instrument that makes the band play in harmony. That's right. It is like the director, the very maestro, the director of the orchestra that causes that band or that orchestra or that ensemble to play in harmony. Let's go to the seventh verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, not see, faith is not what you see, it's what you know. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. All right now, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Okay, by faith. That means he went in, he saw it, he went in, he accepted, and he did something. But God says, your faith is the instrument. You got to have corresponding. Your corresponding action is your faith. And letting go is the very elementation of what God waits for you to do. And see, Noah, knowing this, that in faith, He went by, but he went in. And he built that ark because God directed him on what to do. And as a result, he and everything on the ark survived. And everything that went on outside the ark, the people that laughed at him, that mocked him, and said this fool has lost his mind, they didn't live to talk about it. Why? Because he utilized faith. He got out of self and got into faith. A verse, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go up into a place, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith, this is all connected together. That's why I'm reading and not corresponding yet. By faith, he sojourned, that means he ventured, into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the promise. So what is the scripture saying to us? Abraham, knowing that God promised him, see, when you walk in faith, you are awakened unto the promises of God. You are proactive. Your presence is pleasing to God. You hear what the scriptures told us? Without faith, you can't please him. Oh, you can sacrifice all that you have to feed the hungry, to administer to the necessities of those who don't have. And you can just give, do. But one thing, if you lack faith, you are going to fail God. You're going to fail your purpose in this world. You will never awake until revival time. Faith. Faith is what produces the seed for you to sow into the lives of others. Faith is what produces the ability for you to go out and to conquer, to wage, to conquer, and be victorious. It's faith. That's right, the faith. God doesn't look for goody-good, two-shoe people, highly moral, two people. He wants those who have faith. Now, this does not give us permeation to sin and to walk in the flesh, but we know that through faith, that's right, we are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer just pleasing and despondent in the eyes of God, because God, our Father, looks at us through the eyes of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he sees us as his beloved little children. So look what he did. Abraham, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. So what is he saying? Apostle Paul is saying, now, not only did Abraham become the father and the founding correspondent of faith and his generation span across the globe because he pleased God, his wife received. See, this is epidemic. That's right. When you walk in faith and you're awakened and at revival time, your miracles will be so spontaneous that it will affect others. People will come around you and just be so lifted up and just don't know why. You'll say, it's just something about you. It's the fact that you're walking in the faith of God, not the faith of the flesh, not the faith of what someone told you, not the faith of who you are, your credentials, your credibility, your economic status, your place of residency, your accomplishments. You're walking in the confidence of God. God will not fail us. He has never failed his children. That's why he said heaven and earth would pass away before one dot be changed. So God is a God, a keeper of promise. He gave Sarah a son, that's right, Isaac, in her old age, where she didn't think she could even bear a child. Why? Because she had confidence in God. And look, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, that's the 17th verse, let's get me to the 17th verse, he was willing, he offered up Isaac, he had received the promises offered up to his only begotten son. Look at God, our Father. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son through faith that mankind would repent of their sins. That's right. And he knew that through Christ we would be redeemed. That's right. We would have the ugly sin stain removed from us, and we would be reclaimed, revived, refreshed, revitalized, and renewed by the promise of his word that the blood of Jesus will wash us white than snow. And just look at the very instances of faith that awakened a revival to happen. And he's accounting that God was able to raise him up, that's right, from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. See, he trusted God. He knew that if he was willing to please God, that God would give him retribution. So God told him, no, don't take Abraham, Isaac's life. He said, this was a test. Something is a test to prove you, a test to validate who you are, a test to revitalize, to awaken you. What if God didn't awaken Abraham? Abraham would have ended up being in a sleep state. He would not have been the founding father of faith. But God used the circumstance, that's right, and to shake him up to the point where that he was revitalized. He realized he had to stay on tab, on task, and on the mission. So this is what God did. And Abraham was blessed by the promises of God. And this goes on and on. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped with leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. So the very testament of faith goes on and on and on and lets us know this is the instrument that causes the harmony, the very elementation of the symphony to play correctly, to correspond, to cohere, to collaborate, that brings the results of a standing ovation. Faith in God brings about an outstanding outcome and brings about a standing ovation. This is what generates the awakening. This is what causes the revival time to take place. But it's time that we rouse out of sleep and realize that God has need of us. Before our Messiah makes his second coming, the word of God must be preached on every continent and every civilization. That's right, must receive the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whereby they must be saved. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. But it's at the name of Jesus that every knee must bow, that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So it has to happen. And the only way it's going to happen, we have to be used of God on the level of the earthly transmission to be able to connect with those who are on this level of hemisphere. We have to be willing to awaken, to get out of ourselves and get into the will of God so that men's hearts can be changed. We can complain all day long. We can talk about the very disharmony and disparagingness of this present day, of this present world. But until we get up and get out about our Heavenly Father's business, those things are going to continue to go on. And let me see something. What are the elementations, sister, you may be saying, on how we need to do this? And give it to us in straightforward language. Okay, we know about 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to revisit that scripture before we close out. But no, let's go to the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5, and you see that there's a direct correlation, a direct connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And our Messiah said he didn't come to destroy the Old Testament, but through him the Old Testament would be fulfilled. The Old Testament was a prerequisite of the coming of our Messiah unto the kingdom of men. That's right, how we would dispose and disperse the very elements of heaven's powers within his being. His treasure was in that earthen vessel. That's right, he's the Son of God, that he's perfect in all areas, all aspects, but yet to reach us, he had to come in flesh, but yet he knew no sin. Through his mastery, through his technique, through his application, through his empowerment, through his embodiment, through his sovereignty, he was able to translate the very elementations and the powers of God into the way of mankind, touching mankind. So let's go through the first division of Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and let us see what we need to do to get to this phase of revival. Let's start at the 15th verse. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves and to all men. This is Apostle Paul speaking. You're talking about awake, it's revival time. It's time to get out of that old mind of thinking. Who offended you last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? If you don't forgive, our Messiah told us, Jesus Christ, our Lord of Lords and our King of Kings, said, if you don't forgive mankind for what they have done and offended you in times past, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And release them. He said, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. That's right. And God pays in a way that nobody can do anything about it in the way of retribution. Amen. He says, now, rejoice. The 16th verse says, rejoice evermore. What does that mean? That means be joyful. I know even in the midst of things sometimes that come against us, chastising, and the word tells us, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, whom the Lord, this is what our Messiah told us, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. That's why he doesn't chase us to kill us, to bring us down. Or the devil will lie and tell you, God don't love you. Why did this come against you? Why did this happen? No, God is chastening us to bring things out of us that don't need to be in the within the first place. So he deals with us diligently. He wants us awakened because he knows it's revival time. It's time for us to get busy and about his business. Rejoice evermore. That means continually thank God. That's right. Thank God in advance. Don't look at the things that are present before you. Look at the things that he has set before you. The 17th verse says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Oh, I got to get down on my knees when I'm at work, and I got to get down on my knees when I'm at school. No, when you pray without ceasing, that means that you're constantly communicating with God. When there's a circumstance, a situation you don't understand, instead of getting mad about it, fueling and feuding and blaming, complaining, and being hard-hearted and vindictive toward other people, talk to God. Father God, I don't understand this. Please help me. And he's a present help in a time of trouble. That's right. So let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That means he that has crucified the flesh has no longer any desire to commit sin. That's why he didn't say we wouldn't sin, but he said we don't have a desire. We don't suffer from practice sin. It's one thing to sin and then to practice sin. See, when you practice something, you rehearse it, you got it in your mind, you're going to do it. Anyway, that's right. So, you know what? But when you sin, that means you make an error. That's right. You didn't set out to do it, but it happened, and God loves you anyway, and he restores you back in a spirit of meekness. This is what it means. The next verse says this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, thank God. You want the victory? Thank God in advance for the victory. Thank God for what you have, for where he brought you from, how he worked situations out that you knew in your mind that there was no way out. Now, come on here now. You know there was no way out. That letter you wrote didn't do it. Your begging and pleading didn't do it. Your petitioning before mankind didn't do it. It was the hand of God that did it, and we should thank God from the most minuscule miracles that we received and breakthroughs to the most elemental, the most gregarious miracles that we receive. We should be thankful to God and give him credit for all of our accomplishments, all of our abilities, our perfect health, our perfect strength, for having finances, for having a roof over our head where we can call home, for having food to eat, for something to put on, and all things to give thanks. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. 19th verse, this is very important. Come on, wake, it's revival time. Quench not the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves upon you to pray for someone, you don't have to really know that person. The Holy Spirit calls out the name of a person or an individual. I don't know who that is. Be quiet by faith. You pray for that person. And in doing so, God will give you the breakthrough. Amen? Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, you got to have that blind faith, saying, I don't know how, I don't know when, where, but I'm going to do it because, Lord, you said it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Awake, it's revival time. That's right. So quench not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has embedded with you to speak the word of deliverance, to speak the word of prophecy. Don't quench the Spirit. Well, somebody might get mad with me. Somebody might say I'm crazy. Well, I might set up an argument. So be it. Let's argue then. So be it. Think I'm crazy. So be it. Think I'm foolish. But when God brings to pass what I spake unto you, then you're going to be looking mighty funny. That's right. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. Give God the very glory of his presence. When he puts the word in your heart to say, say it. He puts something upon your consciousness to do, do it. He gives you the very essence and opportunity to magnify him and speak the word. And you're going to say in a resounding way, as I'm saying in a resounding way, I told you God was going to do it. I told you the Lord dealt with me. Folks, I'm going to argue down. Okay, then that's okay. Forever, O Lord, is thy word, as King David says, settled in heaven. So God said it, he settled it, that settles it. You have nothing further to say, but don't ever turn away from the Holy Spirit. Awake, it's revival time. 20th verse, despise not prophesying. You know, sometimes we want prophecy, people to come to us and prophesy. I know even as the Holy Spirit leads me to prophesy to people, sometimes the message is not very, very perceptive in the way of what's happening in their lives that they want me to know about. Some things are somewhat shameful, and when the Lord reveals them to me and I speak it to them, some people get offended, and some people shut down because they think that you're crying and you knew somebody that told them something about you, something about them. And the first thing I tell them is this: I don't know anything about your personal life, but I know what God reveals to me. I'm going to speak it. I'm not going to quench the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to hold back, because if you hold back, you're going to hold the very blessings of God back in your life. And there's going to be people who are not going to like what the Holy Spirit is prophesying through you and saying. Don't worry about that. Let the gift of God operate. That goes back not to quench the Holy Spirit. That's why some prophecies are pleasant and some prophecies aren't. Prophecies are a way of forewarning and forecasting to individuals who are in circumstances or situations that God is not pleased with. That's right. And so we have to be willing and to awake in this revival time to speak the truth. That's right. And not to hold back. That's right, because we don't know the very destiny of that person could be contingent upon what we say. 21st verse, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That means be able to validate what you say and what you do. Give it to someone who questions you, give them ample reason. Don't be afraid. We fear God. We don't fear mankind. And whether the truth offends some people and vexes the very essence of some people, it's not our concern. As long as we speak it in love and speak it in virtue, God is going to honor what we say. That's right. God said his word is not going to return unto him void. It's going to accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for, even through us. We are the vehicle, the vessel of his very presence, and he's going to get the glory from what we say. So we have to do it. Hold fast to that which is good. Try to find things that are positive and good to do, just good to the use of edifying someone else, and stop being puffed up in the flesh. That's why some of us are so puffed up in the flesh, everything centers around us. We have to have it. We have to look good. We have to feel good. But what about that person who doesn't feel so good? Be willing to share your gifts to how we can reach the world, not by just preaching the truth and telling mankind that they must come to repentance by our love. They shall know that we are Christians by our love, by our charity. That means love in motion that rocks the ocean. Mankind are going to come and desire to be with us and to be around us. And then, too, they will awaken and realize it's revival time by the way we show compassion to them. That's right. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What does this mean? That means stay away from things that are not going to be consistent and contingent for good values. That's right. Because, again, we are living epistles being read of men daily. That's right. That means we have to stay away from things that don't look right. That's right. From circumstances that don't feel right. If it doesn't feel right, doesn't look right, well, you know like I know. Amen. It's not right. That means remove yourself from it. That's right. Give not occasion for your flesh. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's the scripture. That's the word of God. Tells us don't make provisions. Don't give opportunities for your flesh to end up rising up and you end up falling out and falling out of the grace of God for a moment of pleasure. So many people have exchanged the greatness that God imputed within them by allowing their flesh, their carnal appetite, to overcome and to overwhelm them. And as a result, they ended up becoming very dismal, falling out of the very elementation of their calling. Because why? They refused and refuted to abstain from every element of appearance. See, temptation comes in all forms. It's just not always about anything that's sensual or appeasing just to the appetite of sexual immorality. Sometimes the very appearance of evil can mean taking something that's not yours, taking someone's recognition that's not yours, actually taking some bribe under the table to keep things contingent. You know morally that that's wrong, and as a Christian, your consciousness should beat you like a moral snare drum. That's right, because God does not want us to do those things. He wants us to provide all things in a way that's honest and virtuous, because we are living epistles being read of men daily. So we need to abstain from the very company of evil, the opportunity to commit anything that's evil. If you're a single woman, you have no reason, and you're a Christian, no noteworthy excuse to be with someone of the opposite sex after a certain time in the evening and being alone. Why would you go to a hotel and have dinner with someone that you're not in a love committed relationship, aka known as a marriage relationship, a contractual agreement, and you're with this person in a setting? You know that there's a provision, a possibility, a proclivity that something could take place. You're in a hotel setting. You know, you have the freedom of movement. That's right. And the flesh, this is making provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, abstain from the appearance of evil. That's right. So we have to remove ourselves. So why? And the very God, the 23rd verse, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means to keep you clean, keep you virtuous, keep you walking in the straight and narrow path. He says, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means that we keep clean. We keep ourselves in the way of doing right and righteousness. That's right. God knows what we stand in need of. He said he was supplying all of our needs. That's what Apostle Paul said. He gave witness. 2 Timothy 5, according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of our hearts. Need more confirmation? Our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? So we've got to keep ourselves in a way of holiness and righteousness through God. Because we don't have it on our own. Because all of our little righteousness is but filthy rags. He says, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also will do it. That's right. That means blessed are you who know the truth, who know what God requires, and will strive due diligence to do it. And then Apostle Paul closes out saying, brethren, pray for us. That means pray our strength, because we're not above the very essence of falling short either. And he says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That means salute them, appreciate them, acknowledge them. He says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's the closing scripture of what Apostle Paul was saying, 2 Thessalonians. And this is an essence of where we are as it relates to revival time. We need to get our priorities set in straight, set in order, because God is calling for a holy people. He's calling for a righteous people, righteous according to the word, not according to the appearance. The appearances can be deceptive and highly deceiving. So God wants the glory from us. And we're thanking God that he's given us this opportunity to awake. This is your day of awakening. It's revival time. It's time for you to rise up out of that old place that you were in and get into the place where God would have you to be. From the leaders of the congregation all the way to the lay members, God has need of us. He has charge of us to take hold of this society and turn it around so that his presence and his glory can be exonerated throughout the land. And he said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal the land. It's time for this land to be healed. And praise God for this opportunity. We're praying with you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the power of God overshadow you, the love of God enfold you, and the very essence of God overtake you one and all, and that you will surrender your heart, surrender your mind, surrender your will to the Most High God, that his glory will be received in your life, that your life, as I'm speaking, as I'm speaking, as I'm speaking, as I'm speaking, be transformed, that every situation and negative circumstance, every attack of the enemy be ceased, that every negative force be tested down in the name of Hallelujah Messiah, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that the power of God unfold you, hallelujah, that the hand of God touch you. Every situation, every circumstance, every negative factor be casted down. That's right, and brought beneath us. Hallelujah. The power of God overtake us all and forgive us of all iniquity, God, whether it's preconceived notions about others, about ourselves, but it's just walking in the flesh and not receiving you, not accepting what you said. Father God, forgive us. We lay before you. We lay at your very feet, asking that you revive us, you refresh us, renew us, revive us, oh God. It's time for us to awake, 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 hallelujah, awake and receive the refreshing of the latter rain. Oh, Father God, the latter rain is greater than all the rain before. It brings about the change. It brings about the miracles. It brings about the anointing, new beginnings, divine favor, divine love, divine purpose, fulfillment, happiness, joy, peace, and all of the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, Father God, we praise you for breaking the back of the enemy. We thank you for destroying the works of the devil. We thank you for casting down every imagination that exalted itself above God and bringing every thought into the captivity of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in our lives, that we be the receptors of the miracles and that we may impart unto others the miraculous transformation of thy divine presence within us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for restoring us. We thank you for reviving us. We thank you for refreshing and renewing us.